The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown!
Welcome to the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. On this show, we have season previews for the Bills' opponents. This one, we have the Jets and New England Patriots. Matt talked to Josh Hunter from the UK Jets podcast. Quick insight about that, the Bills hold a 62-55 advantage in the all-time win-loss. OJ broke Jim Brown's rushing record versus the Jets, and Rex Ryan ruined both franchises. And then following that, the both of us talked to Matt Inkster from the Patriots Nation UK podcast.
And we got some facts here for this one as well, Alex. All time, it's 73-43-1 in the Patriots' favor. Ooh. They only once met previously in a playoff, which was in 1963 in the AFC, where the Pats won that. Jim Kelly was 12-8 in his time against the Patriots, throwing 29 touchdowns, 28 interceptions. O.J. Simpson was 10-4 in his time with 14 rushing touchdowns, 3 receptive touchdowns. And on the 25th of September 2011, Bills came back from 21-0 down to win 34-31, stopping the Pats' 15-game winning streak.
I will forever remember that game. So up first is the Jets. Have a listen and enjoy.
Goal, play fake, Barkley, time, and he finds Deion Dawkins, the left tackle with the touchdown.
And I'm joined right now by Josh Hunter, a member of the UK and Irish Jets podcast. Josh, thank you for joining me.
No problem. Thanks for having us, Matt. Pleasure to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you too. Going on, I want to start off by just asking you how you feel your off-season's gone for the Jets. What's gone good? What's gone bad? Just see your views on it.
Yeah. Mixed bag as it usually is with the Jets. Couple of signings I liked. I liked bringing in Mosley. I think we overpaid for him, but the Jets are hardly a destination team, so you need to overpay for free agents.
Yeah.
I liked the Bell signing, give Darnold some weapons, the Crowder signing, liked all of that. Hated, did not like the way we handled the general manager situation. Baffled. Told me, let him do the draft, bring in players for what he wants, and then fire him the next week.
Yeah.
Made no sense. I like the guy they brought in his place, so it's a plus, but I would have liked him to have his own draft for his type of player. But what can you do?
Yeah.
I hated the Gase pickup as head coach. Hated it. Give him his chance while he's here, but he would bottom of my list.
I think,
as a Bills fan, you've probably got this as well. The Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills seem to just throw players and coaches at each other, thinking that they beat Bill Belichick for one game so they can beat him in a season.
Exactly.
It doesn't work. Rex did it. We sent down Tannenbaum down to the Dolphins. We've now took Gase.
Yeah.
Brian Fitzpatrick's now played for all three.
We'll see him next play for the Patriots next season.
No doubt. And he'll just take them, everything he knows. So that I didn't like. And the draft, again, much like the off-season, was a bit of a mixed bag. I liked what we did after the first round. As anyone who listens to the Jets podcast knows that I do, was not a fan of Quinnen Williams. Nothing to do with the player. I just think at number three overall, if you're going for a DT, you've got issues.
Yeah.
We've spent far too much in that position in the last, an interior defensive lineman in the last 10 years. This is now our fourth interior defensive lineman. win in the first round. And it's as if it's the definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Who would have been your pick then at three?
I would have went OT.
Yeah.
However, they had as the highest graded lineman, I would have tried to go down the way.
Yeah.
But they said they did try that. So if they tried it and you can't, you don't trade down just for the sake of trading down. You don't want to get robbed for it. So I would have just went, who's the best offensive lineman on the board? Take it. We're weakest. It's going into this season where I think we've got the biggest issues. There was no cornerback at three I thought was worth it. So I probably would have went Jonah Williams.
Yeah. I mean, the Jets...
Although he ended up dropping. I don't know about that.
Yeah. I mean, the Jets, they've had a most really busy off-season, just like the Bills. I mean, you probably touched on it a little bit there, but obviously with the moves, whether it be personnel and player-wise, how's your confidence? Has your confidence increased a little bit? Because I've seen blogs giving him better grades than the Bills.
For the off-season, if you're including the coaching in it, I don't think so. I think as a whole, we are free agency. I think we had a slightly better off season, but we had a lot of money to play with. So I'd be annoyed if we didn't have a better off season. We could go and throw over 50 million at a linebacker. I don't know if any other team could do that. Go throw 45 million at a running back. So in the sense of players we brought in comparison to the Bills, I think we did better. But I also think they were sitting with a much smaller cap space, and I much preferred their draft to our draft. So it's all a bit. I think both teams are sitting in quite a similar position going into next year, and I think both are going to rely on which quarterback takes the biggest jump. I think if either of them becomes what you hope becomes when if you take a first round quarterback, they'll be the team in the better position going forward.
But I
really liked Ed Oliver. I thought he'd a great pickup, but I thought, was it Cody Ford was a tackle you took in the second round?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
He was the steal of the draft for me. I thought he'd be going. I thought he'd be gone by 25. To get him near the top of the second, I thought was a really, really good pickup.
Yeah, I think we saw videos and all that from behind the scenes of the Bills, and yeah, they were worried he was actually gone by the time we got there. So, I do think you guys had a decent draft as well. I mean, there were a few players in that you've actually that you got. So I did like Quinn and Williams. I had him and Oliver the same. So obviously,
to get him,
and you got him. You settled for 1B, so to speak.
Yeah. So again, the issue wasn't Quinn and Williams. The issue was a player that I didn't think was in a position I need to take him at overall, in a position that, in my opinion, doesn't generally impact wins. Unless you're telling me he's going to be close, or he's going to emulate something close to Aaron Donald, taking an interior defensive lineman at three, I just don't get it. Especially when you're not getting we had no picks in the second round because we traded up for Darnold.
Yeah.
So a team that had so many holes on it, that was my issue with that pick. But I do think we've improved significantly from last year. But whether it'll be enough to... I don't think either the Jets or the Bills are even close to challenging the Patriots yet.
Yeah.
I think the AFC is theirs until Brady decides to hang it up, I think.
I think you're right. I think it's going to be a case that if one of us actually beat the Patriots and finish above them, then you know that Brady's in decline or they've had a massive injury crisis over the over the season. Le'Veon Bell, can he produce with your offensive line? Obviously, a star in Pittsburgh was a very patient looking for the creases, but does your offensive line allow him to, or do you think his offensive line will allow him to do what he did in Pittsburgh for Jets?
Well, I don't think he'll come out the same as Pittsburgh. I mean, they had a Hall of Fame quarterback, top five offensive line, and in my opinion, someone that's going to Hall of Fame at wideout, and Antonio Brown. We don't necessarily need them to do it. We need them to be Darnold's lookout when Darnold doesn't see anything downfield. hand it off to him on a slant or whatever.
Yeah.
Drop down, which I think he's the best in the league at. I think he's brilliant at that. And you kind of touched on it, the patient style. In one way, you say that you need the hole to open up and he attacks it. But another way, his lateral movement means he can generally avoid it until he finds the hole.
Yeah.
Again, I don't. I think when you're sitting behind the Steelers all lining with their weapons, it's a very different challenge. I'm not expecting anything like that. But if we can get 75-80% of the production he did in Pittsburgh, I think we're on to one. The bigger worry for me isn't stylistically or anything. It's how does he come after a year off? I mean, he looks fit, but I mean, if I started training, I could get myself looking in that shape. It doesn't mean I could. I'm sharp. It's like it's match sharpness is very different than looking in shape.
Yeah.
And how do you keep yourself match sharp when you're not played for a year? So the worry is it could take him 5, 6, 7 games to warm up. And by that point, you're already behind the 8 ball in your season, especially when our tight end's just been suspended for the first 4 games as well.
Yes. Yeah. Good news for the Bills, though.
And the Browns will get them as well. We had quite a tough start, so missing the tight end for 4 games, if Bell doesn't come out the gates firing, it's going to put a lot on Darnold again.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the run game with Bell on there is probably going to be a little bit more of an upgrade from last season. See, big name Bell and the way he can actually he plays and he runs.
The other thing is as well, the defense has to, even if he's not up to speed, they still need to worry about him.
Mm, yeah,
they can't just say if your running back isn't doing anything, they can't just sit 12, can't just sit 8 men back and only put 3 in the line. So should, in theory, if Gase can sort of scheme things, it should make the holes a bit easier for Darnold to find when he's throwing lane. So if anything, it could help in the passing game as much as the running game, just by the way the defense has to line up.
Yeah, I mean, talking about the passing game and all that, obviously Crowder was probably the biggest acquisition you had on a wide receiver. Does Darnold still have enough weapons? I got he's got Mnemu, is that how you pronounce
Inunua.
Yeah. Do you think that
Inunua, Anderson, Crowder, and then when Herndon finishes his suspension, that would probably be the 3 wide out and the tight end that are in most plays.
So your passing game will look a little bit better, especially when you include Bell going on the slants now in the flats.
The big difference you're hoping is Darnold takes the jump. I mean, a lot of people don't. The Jets aren't a team that people watch very often because we're terrible. So a lot of people underrate the wideouts. I've seen a lot of people rank them at bottom in the league and everything. But we're one of the few teams that have had 2 guys go for over, like, I think it's 850 yards, and then we're adding Crowder in. And they've been doing that with 50-year-old Josh McCown.
Yep.
Ryan Fitz, tragic. If you get them a quarterback that can go, and if Darnold takes that jump, Anderson is a whippet.
Yeah.
He's lightning. All you need, put him up against any DB and just throw it long, put him in the vertical, and he'll beat them. And Inunua, if you actually watch the Jets game, is a powerhouse. He runs like a running back. He runs like beast mode. It is impossible to bring him down.
Yeah, so
we just don't have that out-and-out number one. And then was basically a tight end that could run. But you don't have that. Again, the issue is what I think Bell does. We don't have that one that the defense has to adjust for. They don't go out saying, if we stop him, we get the offense. So that it doesn't, the second and third option don't get as open as they should do in other teams to have got that number one.
Yeah.
Because they're not targeting one area. Like, if you go up against, I don't know, the Falcons, you go out your way to stop Julio, which helps Calvin Ridley get space because the defense is intrinsically moving towards Julio. We don't have that number one. We've probably got 3 number 2 threes.
Which sometimes can be a good thing, because if you have a number one, as you say, you're going to have them being looked at all the time. And if you don't have the 2-3 and tight end to help out, it's going to be your passing game is going to pretty much stall.
Well, it's the Calvin Johnson issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
All Stafford did, and it's, you see Stafford now, he doesn't go through his reads because his read was always just, is Calvin Johnson open? Yes, throw it to him. Is he open? No. Well, throw it to him anyway, just in case.
Yeah.
And you don't, especially on a young quarterback, you don't want him doing that. So I quite like the wide outs. I don't think we'll get more than elite offensive weapons, but if Darnold takes the jump, I think they're good enough.
Yeah, and you got them both, the obviously apart from Crowder, the other your other wide receivers and tight ends already have that familiarity with Darnold for pretty much a season. So yeah, no, I think we're in the same position, Bills as well with our wide outs. Now, I know you said you're not a big fan of Adam Gase, but willing to give him a try. Obviously, with the rest of you guys on the podcast and the rest of the UK Jets fan base, is there actually excitement that is actually being appointed, or was the excitement there then just fell flat? Cause, I mean,
it was a mixed bunch. There was a lot of excitement over the past, I think it was 4 weeks. Darnold was the highest rated quarterback in the NFL over the last 4 weeks of the season. So there was a lot of right, and we were, for people who love tanking, we were tanking brilliantly. We were we're losing games 35-33, and Darnold was putting up 300 yards.
Yeah.
If you want a high pick, that's what you want. You want your young quarterback showing promise, but just losing. And so we got a decent draft pick. We're picking the third overall. But Darnold showed enough promise that there's excitement getting the off-season. And some people loved the hire. People on the sort of Twitter sphere and whatnot love the hire. Some people hate it. It was quite a disruptive one.
Yeah.
Some people look back to his sort of Denver days and think, look what he did with that team. They were number one 2 years in a row, blah, blah, blah. Now, my argument to that,
yeah,
and I could put Peyton Manning's offense in a top five offense. He runs his own offense. So it's a mixed bag. Some people, again, the same thing with the defensive coordinator, Greg Williams. A lot of people love it. Some people will hate it.
Yeah.
I guess I'm quite pessimistic. I think a lot of the newer Jets fans in the UK that maybe have came to the sport recently are a lot more optimistic. Whereas I think I'm just naturally pessimistic with the Jets. I just expect what can go wrong will go wrong.
Yeah.
So I think that might play into my own psyche a bit.
Yeah. I think what got most fans, whether they probably be Jets or other fans, was his opening press conference with the wide eyes and all the memes for it. I think that got a few people laughing a little bit on that.
What was good, I watched these, there's this thing they do called One Jets Drive, which is like a behind-the-scenes show they do online.
Yeah.
Based at the training camp. And they kind of had an Adam Gase section on it where he was talking about Darnold and things like that. And that kind of made me a bit more confident. Because it looked as if he was saying there's a bunch of stuff he wants to do. And it was stuff he couldn't do because Tannehill, he didn't come out and say this, but it's kind of what you could tell. Tannehill's limitations meant he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Which if that's it, then it could turn out it's a great hire. If he's willing, my wish with Gase's his offense was very, very small steps at a time.
Yeah.
Which I think can only take you too far. You can win games, you can maybe even make the playoffs, but you're never going to win the Super Bowl with a quarterback that doesn't throw it further than 15 yards.
Yeah.
But if it was, and it could be, it was just he felt Tannehill didn't have it in him, then fair enough, you do what you can do. So I'm hoping that's where his offense limitations came in Miami, and it wasn't that his scheme is naturally like that.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of wait and see how it comes when the season starts.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's a bit too early to probably ask you this, but what record do you see the Jets going this season?
I think we're going to be one of those teams that are an 8-8 team that with a bit of luck can go 10-6 and a bit of bad luck can go 6-10.
probably just like most Bills fans would probably think that. Say yeah. Probably for us it'd be more successful season.
Yeah, it's kind of like I think there's an 8-8 team in the NFL. If you win your close games more than you should, can go 10-6 without too much trouble. Like yeah. Dolphins did it Gacy's first year. We the Jets did it Bulls' first year, where you get a bit of an easy schedule and you just sneak out a couple of wins you probably should have lost.
Yeah.
In the same sense, that can easily go the other way. So I think anywhere between the 6-10 and 10-6 range is where I'm expecting. Yeah. I'd be shocked if we won more than 10 and baffled if we lost less than six.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, from an outside point looking in, what, in your opinion, what do you think of the Bills off season? And obviously they're going to, both us and the Jets are in the same boat. Obviously, there's going to be a nice little friendly rivalry and see how it grows, especially with the both young quarterbacks. But what have you seen? What have you liked about the Bills off season?
Like I mentioned, I really liked the draft. I thought your first two picks were spot on. Ed Oliver, I had graded pretty equally to Quinn and Williams. So you're getting a player I had equal, and we got him at third and you got him at ninth.
Yeah.
So that's never a bad thing. I'd like said, Cody Ford, steal of the draft. Loved that. Well, loved it, but hated that you got him. But you know what I mean? Season, Cole Beasley. I think you've tried to give Allen weapons, but I think you're getting, it's the same thing. If Allen doesn't take a step, same with Darnold, it's all for nothing. I think Allen is McDermott. Is it McDermott that calls
it
the plays?
It's Brian DeBow.
Calls the plays. He's going to need to stop him running so much.
Yeah.
I think that's fine to get him into the game last year, but if you try that again, you're going to get him killed.
Yeah.
Eventually, you're going to need. I think it with him, it's that big arm, it's that small scale big arm. I don't think he ever learned accuracy at college, and I think the running was to basically open up lanes a bit.
Yeah.
So the off season, where whether he got the sort of, I mean, his long ball is excellent, but I think he struggles in the short and intermediate, which is where the running.
Yeah, that's hopefully where Beasley will come into effect, and hopefully one of our tight ends will.
Yeah, and it's all about the off. It's whether they've been able to coach that or not. I think it's one of the hardest things to coach, because it's something that by the time you're 21, 22, a lot of the time you should have. But when you've got, they basically, like, going back to the draft, there was four quarterbacks that were all kind of different people had their opinion on.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson was the fifth, but he was always kind of a bit further down. And the way I've always looked at it, and it was listening to other podcasts and Americans talking about it, because I lived over in America for a year last year. The way they talk about it is, scouts love Darnold and love Mayfield and love Rosen. Coaches love Allen.
Yeah.
Because a coach will say, show me a player's top five plays. And he thinks he can get that out of him every time.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the split. It's whether you think you can coach him, because you can throw it 90 yards without even taking a breath. It's a joke. And it's whether you think you can get that consistency. Whereas a scout looks at them at their best, them at their middle, and them at their worst, because they know their jobs. They don't have a say in improving them. So they look at what they currently are. So it's whether you want production or potential. I wanted Rosen. I mean, that looks terrible now, but at the time I wanted Rosen.
Yeah.
I was happy with Darnold. But the Bills, I think it's all going to come down to if Allen takes a step in the short and intermediate.
Yeah.
The running, it's elite and he's great at it, but look at Cam Newton. It works for a couple of years and then the injuries just start piling up and piling up and piling up. Eventually, he needs to just sit back there and throw it.
Yeah, that's hopefully what Ken Dorsey hopefully will bring. I've heard he's raved about him and likes what he's actually seeing. So hopefully him being an actual quarterback rather than David Culley will actually help him take the leap. But it's going to be a good battle as long as both Darnold and Allen are in the AFC East to see who comes out on top. Who gets the Super Bowl first? We play you game one and what is it? It's a late game. 17, isn't it? 16? I can't remember the last.
Yeah, I honestly have not looked at the schedule.
But for the two games, how do you see it go? What would your be predictions for the games? Put you on the spot.
First of all, I just like to hope that there's something to play for come the end of it.
Yeah,
that would be nice for once. But I think it'll be a split, and I think both games will be relatively low scoring. I'd probably go at the MetLife 24-17 Jets. And Buffalo, I get similar but reversed. I'll go 23-17
So very, very close games and come down to the end where one of the games could decide which team gets to the playoffs.
I'd hope so. But I'd take just a winning record and Jets playoffs. Right, we haven't made the playoffs in years. I think it's the third longest streak in the NFL now.
Yeah. So now the Bills got rid of theirs.
I've got a question.
Go for it.
Where did the jumping on burning tables come from?
To be honest, I don't know. I think I just have a feeling that I think it was just a random recording at a tailgate. They've just seen it jump through. I don't know if there was an effigy of Tom Brady or anything like that, but as soon as one went through, I think it became a worldwide phenomenon. About it, but I couldn't pinpoint the actual origin of it.
Fair. The other one would be prediction for who has a better fantasy season next year, Allen or Darnold.
Oh, I think that one will be close. I just think potentially just based on the on his running ability and obviously what we saw last year from Allen, I would probably just give it the edge over Allen. I think passing wise, if it's just on passing, then I probably would say at the moment Darnold. If it's running, I'd probably say Allen a little bit. If it's both, I might, obviously being a bit biased, but I might just by a little bit give it to Allen.
Do you think you'll keep him running as much then?
Hopefully not. Hopefully these weapons and what we've done on the O-line will actually help him not run a bit more and give him a bit more time to go through his progression. But if he does have to scramble, we've seen what he can do. And I think a load of Bills fans were actually hoping that Anthony Barr would have signed for the Jets just for the hurdle highlight every game. I think it's going to be a close one all season. I think it can go either way, and I think both teams are set up for fighting. They obviously both quarterbacks take the next step, step up for quite some time.
So, going back, did you want Allen before that draft, or were you leaning somewhere else? Or
I was actually I was a bit high on Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph.
Yeah. He went to Pittsburgh, I think round three. I think the more and more I started watching it, the more and more I liked what he actually what he did. I mean, if we had to choose out of the five that actually went went in the first round, I probably would have said Allen, only because I like going for the guys that are not really talked about as much as, oh yes, he's the next big thing and all that. So Mason Rudolph was my number one. I know a load of my the Bill followers, when I told them, actually did start cutting me down a little bit on there. But Unfortunately, we'll never know what's going to happen unless Big Ben goes down.
That's the thing, though. Like, I always say it. People get paid millions and get it wrong. Like, I was dead certain Josh Rosen was the first pick. I thought he was the best, but that didn't clearly work. But people get paid millions and get this wrong all the time. It was just interesting to see who's Allen you liked or not.
Yeah, no, he was in the top. He was in the top three, probably number two. But Mason Rudolph was the one I was actually hoping for. I'll probably get ridiculed again for that now.
Brought it back. So what do you think the scores will be?
I think the first game at MetLife, I think that will be a close one because obviously you've got Jets learning, you've got a new scheme with Adam Gase. Us, we're still bedding in, trying to build the chemistry with our offense. I think that's going to be a low scoring game. I'll probably say 21-17 to it go either way, but I think on this one, potentially, I'll go say the Jets on there.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get to Buffalo, I think that'll be a bit more of a win towards for the Bills, maybe a little bit more. So I don't know. I'll probably still say it's a close one, not as close as the first game. I'd say about. I want to be optimistic here and say something like have a nice big shootout, have 35-27 or something like that, 35-31, something. Just give the fans something to cheer about, and obviously have the two young guns just slinging the balls around.
It'll be fun if nothing else.
Yeah, as long as one of us actually dethrones the Patriots, that's I think that's all that matters.
That's not happening.
Maybe not this season, but hopefully next season.
Hopefully Brady retires.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing as well. You've got the Jets to thank for Brady.
Yeah.
We injured Bledsoe.
Yep. I think,
Maybe we can end them as well next year.
Yeah, I mean, let's say both teams, let's say, they both have their own strengths and weaknesses. And as I say, it's going to go down to which quarterback, as you say, can take that next step. And obviously, if they avoid injury, obviously how the backups go as well.
And coaching. Do you like McDermott? Are you happy with that?
I am. Yeah. I mean, it's with him. He's actually brought in a good work ethic. And what him and Brandon Bean have done, actually identifying talent and getting them into rather schemes rather than just, oh, yes, you got Le'Veon Bell for free, you got Antonio Brown, yeah, we'll get them. But if they're not there, they're going to go for players which give the same productivity, maybe a little cheaper, but actually fit that scheme, which is what I think most players that they've actually they've signed actually have. They have looked for in it just anything that's got versatility and the schemes.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Josh, for joining us. And actually,
thanks for having us. For
having a nice little chat. And if they want to follow or listen to you guys on the Jets podcast, where can they find you?
We're on all the sort of pod sites. The easiest ones usually, obviously, Apple Pod, I think most people use. But just whatever website you use to watch your pod, just type in UK and Irish Jets. Then we've got the Twitter account, we've got Instagram again, it's UK Ireland. It's just UK Jets HQ on Twitter, and all the links to everything are on that.
Awesome, perfect. Once again, thank you very much, Josh. And here's to a good season for both teams.
Here's hoping we get a few wins anyway.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Cheers. Bye.
And up now is the interview Matt and I had about the Patriots with Matt Inkster from the Patriots Nation UK podcast.
It's a slight angle to the left. This is for the win. The Buffalo Bills have defeated the New England Patriots. They stopped the 15-game losing streak.
And we are joined now by Matt from the Patriots Nation UK podcast. Thank you for joining us, Matt.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure. Want to start off with probably one question that every Bills fan probably is thinking and wants to say right now is, when will Brady and Belichick retire?
I was speaking about this in one of my pods the other week, that I think it's last off season that he had said to Giselle that Brady was going to give himself a couple of years before that would be the end of. But recently, when all the rumours were going around of who's who coming over to England this year to the games, Brady said something about he's desperate to come back to England and play again. So I have a hunch that he'll play this season. Hopefully my hunch is correct and they actually play in London next year, and once he's got another almost like a farewell tour, that'll be Brady done, and I can't see Belichick being far behind, to be honest.
That's cool.
That's a good answer. Sooner the better. So, moving on from that, because obviously, you know, no ill will towards either one of them, but specifically about the off season, you know, I never every year, I'll never give too much time to the Patriots off season, because every year it's basically two losses for me, no matter the roster matchup. It doesn't matter who's new, who left. So tell me then, how has the offseason gone for the Patriots? Are you better or worse than last year, would you think?
To be honest, it's up for debate at the minute. I think it's a lot of people in the know, or who say they are in the know, think that we are as good, if not better, than last offseason. But it's hard to tell, especially with our wide receiver core, who's going to stand out, really. I read today that I think that Dorsett is the only one who has caught an NFL pass from what we have in the locker just now, because of Edelman's injury that's came up in this past couple of days with his thumb, that he's out for 3 to 4 weeks. So he's missing some of the start of training camp and probably the first two preseason games, which isn't a big loss. I don't think it is at all. I think it's a great thing, because if there's only one person that's caught an NFL pass, then, you know, you need the guys to step up, and the more reps they get, then it can only be a good thing. And on the other side of the ball, you've got the likes of Chase Winovich, who I am so stoked about getting, because he seems an absolute monster. And out with the Patriots over the years, Clay Matthews has been one of my favourite players to watch, and I just see him in totally that mould of being the next sort of defensive end, pass rush type, like Matthews, like Rob Ninkovich was. So off-season, generally quite good, heading to training camp at the end of the week, and we'll take it from there and see how it goes.
Yeah, no, I was a huge Winovich fan myself, and obviously when it came to round three, and obviously we got Singletary with Winovich on the board, I will admit that I was a little bit bummed out, but seeing what Singletary could do and what he actually has done in OTAs, it's kind of softened the blow a bit. But yeah, no, I like your pickup of Winovich in the third.
Yeah, I totally like it. It's almost like the underrated pick in a way, really.
Mm. I mean, on the roster, whether they can make the 53-man roster, or when the Bills and the Patriots play, who's that one under-radar sleeper player that the Bills should look out for, or the NFL should look out for?
It might have came to light more recently, unfortunately, I've got another fancy football draft coming up in just under a week's time, and I'm hoping that he kind of slips under the radar most. But Braxton Berrios is the one that stood out to me before the Edelman injury came up, and it's the one that is going to be the No, he's a sleeper, really, yeah. But, you know, he's the one for me that's going to stand out in training camp shortly. And if he doesn't, I'll be shocked, because he's in the Edelman mould. He's someone that can be the new slot receiver like him, Edelman, or like Amendola or such. Like, he's got pace, he's got feet that can get him away from the defence, and he's got good hands. So I'm expecting a lot from him this season. I know he was injured last season, unfortunately, and so technically this is his rookie season, but I've got high hopes for him for sure.
That's cool.
All right. So I've had this argument often with multiple people, but never an actual Patriots fan. I've always argued, is it more to the success of the Patriots? Is it more Bill Belichick, or is it more Tom Brady? Like, if you had to lose one, who would you rather lose?
Me personally, and that obviously doesn't go for all Patriots, for me, it's Belichick is the one that I can't lose. Brady, I mean, it's notoriously told now how low he was picked up in the draft, and it's seen from other instances, and something I still can't wrap my head around to this day, of if you're going for someone that's your quarterback, like we've just picked up Jarrett Stidham in the fourth round this year. I mean, if you're pinpointing someone as your next QB, why the heck are you picking someone up in the fourth round rather than, you know, one of the first, second or third sort of thing? So for me, it sounds silly, but Brady is slightly dispensable, but Belichick isn't. And when he goes, does McDaniel step into the role and play as well and coach as well as what Belichick's done? I don't know. And we've seen that in Denver before. There are people who are great assistant coaches and coordinators, but they don't transcend to being a head coach at all. So, Belichick's the one I'd hate to lose.
I think I'd kind of agree. You had that time when Brady was out injured. You had Matt Cassel come in for that one season when Brady was out and went 11-5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I could kind of see. Yeah,
it's clear that it works. The system works, and I mean that's kind of, you know, when I think about it, that's one of the things that, I mean, when was the last time we haven't had a system since Marv Levy, you know? I mean, it's always, I think that's the most important thing, is to have a system, have a coach who knows how to do it. So, and the players are kind of expendable. I get that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's something to touch on one of the other AFC teams is the Titans are guilty of, and some franchises in general, they just don't give coaches enough time, and it's susceptible. Matthew, you'll know in English soccer or European soccer as well, they just don't give coaches enough time. And everyone's having a dig at Mariota and how terrible he has been, and granted he's not lived up to his first round pick as he should have done, but is this going into his fourth year, and he's going to have a fourth offensive coordinator to work with? How can you have any stability off the back of that?
Exactly. I think that's what we're hoping with Buffalo, that regardless whether we make the playoffs or just not, by miss it by, say, a game or so, that hope that we give McDermott an extra couple of years, because what he's actually started building at the moment is actually what is needed. And that, as you say, that stability is the thing that is pretty much the key in all franchises. If you can get that suitable stability for a couple of years, 3 years or so, whilst you're building up the rest of your side, then that will be, at the end of the day, it will be good for the franchise. And then that coach potentially could be there for as long as Belichick, as long as Marv Levy when he was their head coach of the Bills.
Yeah.
I mean, is there any team in the NFL you're worried about playing, or is it just a case that each week you're going in saying, yep, I think this could be a straight up win, we're not scared of anyone? Or is there someone now that you're thinking, ooh, I'm not too sure if we can get the positive result for?
I mean, the brash Patriots thing to do is just to say we're winning it again, end of. But that's not my realistic point of view, to be honest. I've gone on record in my podcast and various other mediums that for me, it's the Colts this year, and that's not just in the AFC. I think the Colts, if I was to put my money on anyone to win the Super Bowl this year, it's going to be them, because not only were they good last year, but they're even better than they were. They've added some fantastic pieces in the offseason, and they've still got so much salary cap room. It's not even, it's kind of disgusting, really, how they've got a roster of what they've got, and they've still not even scratched the surface on their salary cap, really. So for me, it's the Colts. I think it's the Patriots have to gun for the Colts, and if we don't meet them for whatever reason in the playoffs, and for whatever comes up that they don't win the whatever game it is that doesn't put them into the championship game against us or someone else, then I'll, you know, that's a step ahead for the Patriots at that point, that we are then in a position that we can go to the championship and to the Super Bowl. But yeah, to answer your question, the short answer would be the Colts.
So not the the Browns with all their signings and how they feel they're gonna break the drought, get into the playoffs. Not scared of the Browns.
No, not really. I've kind of jumped off that hype train in recent weeks, and I don't know. I mean, I love what they're doing, what they're trying to achieve, and I can see them being a contender, at least get the divisional rounds. But there's just, I think they'll start and you know, falter over the line rather than be confident about it. Is what I potentially envision happening. And same with the Chiefs. With everything that's gone on this off-season so far with them, there could be something lurking in the deepest, darkest wood that could unscrew that cork and just take the, you know, derail their season as well, potentially. So, and obviously, as everyone says, Mahomes can't have another season like that again.
Yeah,
I get that. I mean, you can only really be scared of a team that's kind of like been there, that's done it before. And I know the Colts had like one bad year, but that was when, you know, Luck was hurt and everything. But I mean, they've consistently had a really good offense. So I mean, I could understand that. Obviously, I wasn't expecting you to say Buffalo. It would have been nice. But is there anything about the Bills in these two games that we'll play that gives you cause for concern at all?
Yeah, and you touched on it earlier. I know you might have wanted to pick up Winovich, but Singletary, he's someone I've been sleeping on in draft and I've not really picked up, because always in my head that I don't really pick Buffalo players that much because of the seasons that, in terms of weather, that you get up that neck of the woods, you know, and then thinking about it today, obviously knowing that I was coming on to speak to you guys, that I thought, well, if you are in 3 foot of snow, then, you know, you do run it. You don't try and throw it 40 yards downfield, because then all your receivers are slipping and sliding. And watching back tape of Singletary, he's such a north-south runner. I don't know if anyone's picked, I'm sure they have, but for me, he's a Le'Veon Bell in the making. He's got that patience. He's into that new sort of mould that's coming. You know how it'll come in sort of waves, that someone's seen Lev Bell, and then now we're 4 or 5 years removed almost from that. So the people who were leaving high school at the time when he was a rookie have then hit college and subsequently are now in the NFL. And they've been practicing this stutter step for so long that Singletary is one of them that seems to have mastered it. He doesn't like running east and west towards, you know, lateral towards the lines. He's all or nothing. He'll quite happily juke three linebackers and take it 40 yards up the middle. So for me, he's someone to watch out for. But on the opposite side of the ball, I was really impressed with what I saw from Ed Oliver. He's someone that, and everyone says that Brady doesn't get touched, or if he does, there's flags thrown. But he's someone that I'd be scared of if I was Brady. I wouldn't want him rushing at me in full speed. The tape I watched, he was getting double teamed and he was still shoving the guys out of the way. And even if he didn't get to the quarterback, he was still making it difficult for them to throw. And it was either ending up that someone off the edge was getting to the quarterback instead, or he was just end up throwing the ball away, which is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And really him and your second round pick, Cody Ford, I know he was kind of picked up as a tackle, but he's going to be someone that's a Swiss Army knife across that line, I think, that can play guard or tackle quite easily in both. He might pick a spot eventually and stick with it, or they might just keep chopping and changing depending on how injuries go.
What's your view on Josh Allen?
Potential. He needs to be more accurate with his throws, and he could potentially do that. I'm a big fan of the Cole Beasley pickup, and with him coming in off the slot, he could be someone that, you know, just almost as what Brady gets accused of a lot of time is the dink and dunk style. If they stuck with that for a little while, but then, you know, you've got the potential to open it up further down the field as well. But
yeah,
I'm not sure if I can trust them throwing it down the field very often. So if you want to go that, you might see them going quite slot heavy or run heavy is my guess for the first few games, at least until he gets into a rhythm, and then it'll start to open up towards the numbers and towards sidelines and going further downfield. But no, I'm not, if I was you guys, I wouldn't be too displeased with him. That's for sure. He's just,
oh no, we're not. We just love him in shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
What would have to happen for the Bills to beat the Patriots? Is there any weakness in the team there that should cause worry for yourself?
I know it's a funny one for you guys because pre-pod, I was saying to you guys that I was listening to what your recent episode was, and I picked up that you guys aren't the hottest on tight ends, and obviously we don't really have one as such going into the new season, so that could be a weakness or it could be a strength. We don't know until they start to expand on things in training camp and such like, but cornerback were quite stacked, so I wouldn't want Josh Allen through it and any length downfield towards our corners because we're quite deep in those areas. That was something. I don't know, really. I don't know. We do have weak spots, but it's, I would say that sort of transition between the linebacker and safety and corners, there's that. It's always behind the line even, you know, before you've even got off, because Singletary could be Shady could be someone that might be more of a swing sort of person, you know, starting off the line and coming forward from it, because that was something we've always been susceptible to, is just the short pass off 5 yards to 10 yards to the right or left, and then them attacking the linebackers and corners from that point of view. You've seen that in the Super Bowl against the Eagles. Corey Clement was just running all over us and at times because the box was either stacked looking at Ajayi or they were too worried about Jeffrey and that further down the field that he just tailed off. He started next to Wentz, he started next to Foles and then just tailed off to the side and there was nobody marking him, so you could just, he picked up the ball and ran it 10 yards to get first down. So that's something that I've always thought even now is such a weakness. If you can find a running back or somebody that's a bit of a hybrid that can swing out left or right, still be behind the line for just that split second longer and let play develop in front of you and see where you're going.
So it's pretty much.
Looking at your roster, I always am scared of the Patriots because of the offense. But in looking at the roster now, with the question marks at wide receiver, you know, is Harry, how do you pronounce the last name?
Nkeel.
Yeah, like, I mean, what are you going to get there? Demaryius Thomas, is he going to, you know, is he going to even make the team? Running back, Sonny Michel, injured. But your defense looks legitimate. So So that kind of gives me more worry than your offense does, because kind of with Brady, he always figures it out, right?
Yeah, I'd say you're 90% right, Alex, that, yeah, our defense is quite legit, and it'll be like you guys. I mean, you guys were top five last season, and I think, what was that I read the other day? It was something like out the last seven seasons or so, the Patriots and Seahawks are the only two that have had top 10 defenses consecutively, or something like that it was. So our defense is pretty good.
Secondary.
Yeah, as I was saying, the corners and safeties were quite stacked in those positions. That's why for what we picked up in the draft with Jawan Williams, then I was a bit, and especially because we reached for him and traded with Detroit, I was a bit miffed. But, you know, the good old Dan Bill we trust saying we'll just have to suffice for that one, I think, right? The wide receivers, yeah, as I was saying, it is a bit of a hit or a miss for now until we see how they develop. But my sneaky suspicion is a lot of people will say Thomas might not make the team, but for me, he's going to be that tight end replacement. He's going to be that Gronk in the end zone. It's either that or it depends on Josh Gordon, really. If Gordon comes back into the team, he's the one that takes the fades and such like into the corners of the end zone for red zone play.
Yeah.
But if he's still banned for his substance abuse or whatever you want to call it, I can see Thomas being the one. They might not have much choice. It'll be between him and Harry to go into the corners and take those sort of balls and, you know, the 50-50s that are there for up for grabs to try and get touchdowns and score points. Yeah. But yeah, the wide receiver is a weakness as well until we see how it plays out.
One last question. Yes, it's going to be, it's early in the, we haven't even got to training camp and all that, but just, if you can, what would be your prediction for the games? Would it be a sweep for the Patriots, 1-1, or how would you see the two games going?
Definitely a win at home, because I always think we're going to win at home, but I mean, it's not the same, and it wouldn't happen. And there's plenty of teams come in Gillette recently and got wins. Buffalo, it's a different, I can't remember the schedule off the top of my head, but I think we go to you guys first. Is that right?
Let me see if I can grab it up. I did have it saved somewhere. I can't remember where now.
I know we play early.
We're 29th, week 4 at home, and then either the 21st or the 22nd December away.
Yeah, so it's slightly better weather in December in Boston than it is Buffalo, in general speaking. I mean, I know that's not much to be, there's not much between it. So going away from home early on is always what I prefer when in terms of Buffalo, because it's better weather and it's a more uneven playing field as such. But and then at home, I always fancy us regardless who it is to try and take care of business. So potentially 2-0, potentially 1-1. I wouldn't like to say either way, but if, you know, I was to put my house on, I would have to go 2-0, unfortunately, guys.
I don't blame you for that. I mean, you actually, you have the track record that can back that up, so I can't argue with you there. But I mean, that second game is going to be pretty important for probably the both of us. You'd probably be going for home field advantage in the playoffs, want to lock that up. We're probably going to be fighting for our playoff lives, so that's going to be a really interesting game at the end there.
For sure. It could be it might not even be for home advantage, to be honest, the season with us, but we'll wait and see how it goes, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to feed off your cautious pessimism. That really makes me feel good, so.
Excellent. You do that and have yourself right. Sleep at night.
Yeah, I think Alex needs, on some of the podcasts, he's actually he's a bit too pessimistic. He needs to be a bit more optimistic.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens in December, though. You know, we'll see how I feel then. So,
I mean, to be honest, guys, going into this season, I think you've got a lot to be positive about, and you know, if all else fails, you've always got the Dolphins to prop you up anyway.
Yeah, and potentially the Jets.
Yeah, they're throw a dart and see what happens.
It's a very interesting team over there. Yeah.
It's so frustrating if you're, well, not if you're me or you guys, because yeah. It's, you know, we've both got the chance to topple them. But if you were to be a Jets fan, you know, you've signed some good players through the draft and through free agency in the off season, and then you've got Adam Gase just comes in there like a whirlwind and like, well, I don't really like you. I don't really like you.
Everyone's gone.
It's not really what you want to hear when they've signed these multi-million dollar, multi-year contracts that, you know, you're not getting rid of these guys anytime soon. It's not as easy as what it is in soccer that you can just fade them out of the team or try and get a transfer for them or whatever. They're there, and there you're, you know, you've got the captain, or should be one of the captains of the D in Mosley. You've got Lev Bell, who knows what's going to happen now, but and you've got the potential in Darnold to actually be doing something, and he's just come in and gone, nope. Right, I don't like running backs, so you're out the door. You know, so no, I going back to what I was originally saying was for me personally, looking into your season a little bit, then there is a lot to be positive about, and there is a lot to consider going forward that I wouldn't be too pessimistic and say that, you know, I think a playoff berth is possible for you guys. And looking at your schedule, you know, if you get off to a good start against, you know, you've got if you get the Bengals. Jets, Giants, Bengals before us, Titans, you know, can be a hit or miss, and then you've got Dolphins, so you could be looking at what,
Five and one, five and two, or something.
Yeah,
you know, you've got the potential there to do some damage before you hit a run of games that potentially derail you. But then, you know, Redskins are a hot mess as well.
I always say there's 14 games on the schedule that can go either way. There's just two on the schedule that I'm never feeling good about. So
that's cool. Do you have any questions for us? And we've got you on. You may have something.
Well, just how you think that if you've looked at the Patriots and what you guys have thought of our roster, you know, we've touched on it a little bit. Was there anyone in the draft that, apart from Winovich, that you thought, you know, do you go with the take that Harry could be the linchpin of our offense this season? Or, you know, how do you guys think it's going so far?
I really like the Harry pick. I think he was one of my top receivers that I actually had.
Yeah.
Looking at it, the size and his and the way he's bulked out his frame obviously will make him dangerous, along with hopefully, if you do get him back, obviously Josh Gordon. As I say, my Chase Winovich, I really liked. I do like the guard you took in the fourth round. Hajalt Froholt, the guard from Arkansas.
Something
I really
like
that. Liked him.
That's a fun name. Yeah, I'm not even gonna try that. So
I think it's Hjarald, because it's like a Danish Viking sort of name. Yeah. Hjarald Froholt.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Something like that.
He was one of my favorites.
If he gets really good, and he becomes like a really like all-star player, people are gonna love that name. In reviewing the Patriots roster for me, it just seems like this happens every year where there's massive turnover, and it still just works. You know, I mean, bringing in a guy like Michael Bennett for such a low cost. The Patriots are the only team that could do something like that and have it work.
Yeah.
You know, like no one else is ballsy enough to even call Seattle and say, hey, we'll give you a fifth for him. And it worked. It's just every year there's something that like, oh, yep, so-and-so went to the Patriots. Of course they did, you know?
Yeah, I think that it was when I heard about that pickup, I was like, oh, no, please don't tell me that means his brother's going to come out of retirement.
The one thing I was actually shocked kind a little bit about was obviously the release of Chris Hogan, because obviously at Buffalo he was good, and he obviously did well for you guys covering for when Edelman was out. So I was a bit shocked with I'd probably be shocked, you probably weren't that shocked with him being released, but I do also what's his name, Sonny Michel. I do like him as a running back.
Yeah, Michel is good. The only issue he's got going into this new season is his knee, and being a runner, then you know you need your knees, don't you?
Yeah.
I know that sounds silly, but you know he's more. I'd be more inclined to say being a running back, you need them more than potentially a receiver does.
Yeah.
Because you know you've got to have that low momentum that drives you forward a bit. So that's a concern for me going into the new season is Michelle. But again, we've got so much in reserve, and to pick up Damian Harris was a bit of an eye squinter as well, because we'd already got the likes of Rex Burkhead and James White there. But it's always been a Bill thing. Bill hates fantasy football. Bill doesn't want a bell cow in his team. And so he's quite happy going by running back by committee. So, no, he was a bit of a surprise last year, Michelle. So hopefully it continues this year.
The two shockers for me was losing Trey Flowers and Trent Brown. I mean, those are cornerstone positions. Very important. The guys produced for you, and just to let them go. I know, like, the Patriots don't pay guys, you know, like top dollar, and those guys got massive contracts. You know, Trent Brown being the highest paid offensive lineman right now in NFL history. So, but I mean, you addressed the defensive end part and the draft, obviously. But like, what are you going to do about the loss of Trent Brown?
It's looking like Joe Tooney might move over into that position potentially and cover that. But yeah, you're right. We don't pay, and it can be frustrating because it's not, again, I've related back to soccer. It's not like soccer. You just throw more money at it because there is a salary cap in place, and we don't have a lot of that. So we almost had our hands tied. We just had to let them go in a way. But at the same time, you know, you've seen, and that's Jamie Collins come back this year. He went, got his money, got paid, and now he's back to where he can possibly pick up another ring. So it's, if you're a player, do you want money or do you want rings? They'll say both. You can't have both in a lot of cases. And because their career is so short, you can't blame the guys. They've got to go for the money, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, they got their ring last year, so now go get paid, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, no, it's looking okay. I'm optimistic as usual. But apart from the actual roster and such like and how things have gone, how do you see the Patriots season going in general? Do you guys see, you know, what do you think of my prediction of the Colts being the one that's to be feared, or do you think it's us that's being feared by the rest of the league?
I don't want to rain on praise and all that. I think obviously with what Brady's saying about potentially want to do a couple a season or so to before he retires, I think obviously it's just at that point, I don't know how best word to word it, it's just the transition period where are they on a little bit of a downslope, or are they working hard behind the scenes to get Jarrett Stidham up and running to take over, or are they looking to make that big splash, whether it be free agency or via the draft, to get that heir apparent to Brady. But to challenge, if we're talking AFC, I probably would a little bit agree with you on the Colts, possibly the Chiefs, but they've had a few off the field issues. But if we were going all over, so if we were going NFC as well, I would probably say the Rams. I think the Rams could give you a better run for money than they did in the Super Bowl.
Really, I'm seeing a lot of people talking about the Rams falling off. Now, I haven't spent much time on their offseason, but just looking at a few predictions, people are talking about the Rams coming back down to earth. But yeah, I've definitely spent more time looking at the AFC. I see the Steelers kind of taking a step back. I see the Browns being not ready yet. I see people overvaluing the Jaguars. And I would say the Chargers, but what you did to the Chargers last year just makes them like irrelevant in this conversation, you know, that dismantling in the playoffs. So, and yeah, I mean, you said it earlier about how Mahomes is going to probably take a step back or at least just not be as good. So, for me, it's always hard to say anybody but the Patriots at the top until something happens where I see a step back. I'm never going to predict a step back. It's just hard for me to do so.
That's just so you don't look foolish.
Yeah.
I'd probably say that, yes.
I actually heard that in one of the pods I listened to, and they said, you know, why change an opinion or prediction of a lifetime, you know, and just carry on saying Patriots till one day they go, oh, well, you were proved wrong. It wasn't the Patriots, because if you're the one who sticks your neck out like me and says the Colts, and then, you know, come the end of the season in February, they're like, oh, well, we told you it wasn't the Colts. Yeah. You know, you silly person for saying that. So I can see both sides of the coin flip in that one, that's for sure. But touching on what you were saying about the NFC, I think it was Good Morning Football I was watching a bit earlier on today, and whoever it was that I had on, I was doing some housework, so I've been on vacation this week, as the Falcons, they are going to be the sleeper team of the year, apparently, and they potentially win the NFC South and then go on from there. And I could get behind that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a step forward for who is their other wide receiver? It's late. who's their second wide receiver? They just drafted him last year. But I mean, I think that their offense is going to take a step forward just because of progression like that. But I don't know about the Falcons' defense though. So.
As I say, it was just something I heard off the cuff when I was doing some
Calvin
stuff.
Ridley. There it is. Calvin Ridley.
Okay. Yeah, he could be a bit hit or miss, I think. He can score a boatload of touchdowns in three games and then fall off a cliff for the next 10. You just don't know. Hopefully, for their sake, he's a bit more consistent this year. But
that's what
you
hope for coming into your second season, you know?
Yeah, you want to hit consistent, really, and get, you know, rather than 10 touchdowns in four games, you want them across 10 games or so, don't you?
Yeah.
How did you guys, well, Alex, obviously you're from Buffalo area, but Matthew, how did you become a Bills fan? Because it's not really one of the fashionable teams over in the UK, is it?
Yeah, no, I was there from, I've been there since around the Music Series City Miracle game. I think that was the one that really got me into Buffalo. My soccer team's actually West Ham.
Why do you guys keep saying soccer? I'm not allowed to say that. How come you guys are saying it?
No, you can say it. I actually say it as a, anytime I'm talking football.
Oh,
as an American football, it makes the differentiation between the two. Because just a sidestep before you continue, yep. Matthew, was last year I was in Mexico on holiday, and I was chatting to this couple from Boston, and I had one of my Patriots t-shirts on, and they were like, oh, no way, you know, you're a Patriots fan, that's like made my day, but you know, are you really a Patriots fan? So anyway, we got chatting about it and everything. There was this English couple that we met, and he he did exactly the same as what you just done. He just went, hold on a minute, you said what now? And I was like, well, I'm differentiating between football and soccer, or I don't see the point. American football, you know, it's too similar. So I always kind of, I've stuck with that rule of thumb that that's why I say the differentiation between the two.
I'll follow that rule going forward.
I find it works for me anyway, so take out of it what you will.
Now, as I say, with as I follow West Ham, I think the way they go about obviously being the underdogs, and oh my god, I got lightning out there. That's nice. Sorry, being distracted. But no, because they've always been the underdogs. They've never been the one to constantly win, constantly be up the top, challenging for honours and all that. I think that resembled what Buffalo were at the time. Obviously, they had that Super Bowl, the Super Bowl era in the early 90s. And obviously, from then on, it's been barren until a couple of years ago. So I think it was the similarities between them. And it's just the ethic of being blue collared, actually a working man's team, which is something that I do like in people and in teams in general, ones that will always work to improve. And I think it from there, after watching a few games, it just stuck with me.
And Alex, did you have much choice in the matter? Is it purely geographical and family, not related, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's geographical. It's family for sure. I mean, my dad taught me curse words by watching Bills games. I said that on our first show, and he sent me a message after. He's like, "Hey, thanks for the shout out. Now everyone thinks I'm a jerk." I think it just goes to show the pain, and you know, kind of what Matt's saying about how being like a lovable loser kind of team. I mean, like since 95, I mean, this team has had 2-3 years of, hey, they might make the playoffs. You know, that's not enough. So, but yeah, definitely. I mean, you watched, Matthew, I'm sure you've seen all of the Embedded series, you know, the YouTube series called Embedded, where they just talk about being blue collar, being, you know, this city bleeds Buffalo Bills. Instead of like, if you got drafted by a team in California, you know, it's all about, concessions, and it's all about, you know, luxury boxes and stuff like that. But we live and die on Sundays. So, yeah, that's a really good comparison there. And that's kind of exactly what it is.
Yeah. And on touching on that as well, there's... I think they've almost done it every season, but certainly I'm sure it was last season I noticed it, was the whole clearing the field for the game to be played. That's something that resonated with me in a way, and because over here, you know, we've got the more like local teams that are just amateur, and that's just what they do is a hobby and for a bit of fun. Sometimes they're they ask for the people of the town or the village or whatever go and help clear the field so the soccer game can be played. Have you ever partaken in that, Alex, at all? Or is it people that you know that have done it?
No, if someone that I know has done it, we haven't had a conversation about it. Shoveling snow is one of those things that, you know, people would love to pass. I'm going to pass on shoveling snow. You know, you do it every day between November and March, so you don't want to go do it again, you know, kind of thing.
Not even for a free ticket to the game.
I don't know if they were paying.
They were giving out free tickets if you helped out, if you showed a bit of snow, they would give you complimentary tickets to the game.
Let me tell you, the season, I think it was 3 years ago, where we had the season finale against the Jets, where the Jets had to win to get in. That was a December game. I was miserable. I went to a December game against the Colts, where Fred Jackson got his 1,000-yard season. I was miserable. It's not fun to go to a winter game. It really isn't. I mean, you have to get proper drunk to enjoy time at a winter game.
Yeah, that sounds familiar because in Aberdeen, it's where the soccer stadium is for Aberdeen Football Club. It's right next to the sea. And if you get a northerly sea breeze coming off of there and at that time of year, it's not much fun, I can tell you. So it's slightly similar experience, just a little less snow, I think.
Yeah, it's never great. It's never great. You know, I always say I could deal with the cold, I can deal with the snow, but really it's the wind. And at the Bills Stadium, it's underground. So it's super below sea level. And when the wind gusts come into the stadium, it swirls. And the whole game is windy. And it's just, I mean, unbearably cold. And just, you know, the frostbite, it's possible, you know, if you don't take care of yourself. So some of that stuff, just pass.
Stay indoors and watch it on TV.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. I'll go to the games in September and October.
Fair enough. Yeah. And one last question from me for you both is, Antonio Brown, what did you make of the situation with that?
Yeah, Matt, you can go ahead.
To be honest, I didn't fancy it too much. I mean, I thought it was more smokescreen more than anything. I mean, what it was obviously saying, fake news and all that, we'll never know unless we were fly on the wall in any conversation around the area. But in my opinion, I'm kind of glad that we didn't pursue it and didn't actually get him, because I just feel that he is going to cause that trouble like he has in Pittsburgh. And let's say with who we signed with John Brown and Cole Beasley, I'm happy with those two, spending the money on those two over however much Oakland are paying Antonio Brown for a couple of years.
Man, you know, when you asked that question, I thought you meant about Antonio Brown in Oakland. I forgot that even happened with us and him. And I think it's because I never believed it. I mean, it happened at a time on the East Coast where I think we were all sleeping. So I woke up to the news, and then that's when it first came out that, oh, it's all fabricated. So the second I saw all my friends on Facebook getting excited, I'm like, bullshit. There's no way. There's no way. Because this is a guy who is, you know, he's very – I don't know him, so I might regret saying mean things about someone I don't know. But he comes off as very vain, and just Buffalo's not a city for him. California is definitely where that kind of guy belongs, I think. So he never would have chosen to come to Buffalo.
Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying there. And he's not going to be someone that's, you know, pitching and shoveling snow in December when he can be sitting in 30-degree heat getting a suntan, is he?
Yeah, and exactly. I would be very surprised to hear that. I mean, I'm quite shocked to even hear that we offered to trade for him, because, you know, you hear Sean McDermott talk all the time and Brandon Bean talk all the time about culture, culture, culture. And Antonio Brown is the exact opposite of the culture that these guys are trying to build and talk about, you know. So that was just very shocking altogether. That's why I didn't believe it, because, you know, here's a city that it's team first. And he's a me first kind of guy, so that's very it was very shocking. But I mean, obviously glad it didn't work out, no matter what.
Yeah. Well, we'll end it there, Matt. Thank you very, very much
for
coming on the podcast, giving us a Patriots view on the off season and obviously the Bills as well. Should any of our listeners want to take a gander and listen at your podcast, do you want to tell them where they can find it?
First of all, thanks for having me on. It was much appreciated when I seen the shout out for some Patriots fans. I think I was one of the first to jump on it, and, you know, especially get a chance to promote the podcast to fellow NFL fans, whether it be in the States itself or in the UK, because, as I was saying pre-pod recording, that, you know, I think our philosophy is the same, that we want to cross brand with other teams and such like, especially UK fans, because we're thousands of miles away from where it's actually happening. And if we can cross-brand each other, where you, whether you're a podcast person or you're a blogger or whatever, you know, that's something I look to do on Patriots Nation UK, and it's obviously something you guys look to do with your podcast as well. So no, thank you very much for extending the invite to come on and chat some Bills and Patriots with you guys. If anyone wants to follow me and chat some Bills, Patriots, AFC East, or just NFL in general, you'll find me online on Twitter at Matt Inkster. I'm also on Instagram, but I'm very rarely posting on there. I basically just scroll through and look at other people's pictures. So mainly Twitter, it's at Matt Inkster NFL. And if you want to listen to the podcast at all, you will find it if you search in iTunes for Patriots Nation UK. You'll find it there or on all other good web or podcasting apps, sorry. And I also blog at patriotsnationuk.com. On there, I try and get on and write something once a week if I can. You know, family life and such like get in the way sometimes, but trying as much as possible to provide content on there, especially as we're heading into training camp and such like. But yeah, Patriots Nation UK. I am the podcast, and at Matt Inkster is where you'll find me on Twitter.
And coming up in the next special season preview of the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, previewing the Bills' opponents in 2019, we will talk to the UK Bengals and the UK Titans podcast team. So until that time, until next time, good evening. Thank you for listening. Good afternoon, and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.